these animals are bred and killed so quickly that, you know, that that's the only way to keep this mass amount of meat, dairy, and eggs profitable and coming to the market. So it just couldn't be done. There's no way to allow animals to live their full lives, die of natural causes, and that be the source of the meat that we eat. You just couldn't do it that way, not on any kind of scale where, you know, it's a product to be sold to the market.
That was author and animal rights activist Hope Bohannock. She's the executive director of Compassionate Living and spoke with KABU contributor David Rosenberg about her new book, The Humane Hoax, Essays Exposing the Myth of Happy Meat, Humane Dairy, and Ethical Eggs. This is KABU News In Depth.
You are tuned in to KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial.
Connect with your favorite community radio station on social media.
Our Facebook page is facebook.com/KBOOMRadio.
And follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/KBOO.
We also have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/KBOO Radio.
We also provide content to the Free Music Archive,
an interactive library of high-quality legal audio downloads.
That's at freemusicarchive.org/curator/KBOO.
You can find all this and more on the KABU website, kboo.fm.
Thanks for listening.
The following program is a rebroadcast. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning into KBOO Portland.
You are listening to a digital indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.
Can you tell the end in first then?
Hello out there. Hello, Indian country. How you doing? It's your boy and your host, Jack Malmstrom, here with another Rose City Native Radio. We got guests. We got Nick Yellow Horse in the studio, your favorite. We got music and more for you on this lovely day. Starting out the show, this is Nako Bear with Medicine for the People with Vultures of Culture. Enjoy.
The same ones that he massacred.
jumping here like an ivy, spreading like a disease. And all the while building a clueless army of God-fearing youth with no knowledge of the truth. And their selfishness is so ugly, and it all starts to make sense. Who we gotta talk to if we wanna survive this mess? It all starts to make sense. Itty bitty economy based on geography, fueled by spectators and their money and their need for things that will not last. So go on, build a hotel, a gift shop in the wilderness. Making a profit, capitalizing on it, then all the while trampling on everything that is sacred, and it all starts to make sense. Why the Western man destroys things he doesn't understand, It all starts to make sense. All these patterns and wasteful destructive practices. Government puts the people in poverty, and it bothers me when the people are going hungry and go for companies that got the government full of groceries. It's disgusting how you can do nothing and complain about the situation in which you're living, and it all starts to make sense. The vultures are culture and they're picking on all my friends. It all starts to make sense. All indigenous and present men. Well, I dedicate my life to the people who need the light, help them rise above the scam on the land and their lives. And I'm caught in like a knife, all the lies by the slide. Independent of this democracy is really worth the fight. My request is reasonable, a sharp, undefeatable ambitious, deep moving towards solutions that are feasible. It's unbelievable, all the slow moving people, they can care less just as long as they are comfortable. Man, it's unforgivable because the conditions now are critical. Whether or not you're ready, we are now approaching the pinnacle. It's difficult to say exactly what to do, but the change begins with me, and I'll reflect it back to you, and you, and you, and you, and use your ability to choose. Come on, man, make the movement move. It all starts to make sense. It all starts to make sense. With all these omens and the moon phase we're in, it all came my life to the people who need the light, help them rise above the scam on the land and their lives. And I'm cutting like a knife all the lies by the slice. Independent of this democracy is really worth the fight. My request is reasonable, a tribe undefeatable, ambitious, deep moving towards solutions that are feasible. It's unbelievable, all the slow moving people, they could care less just as long as they are comfortable. Man, it's unforgivable because the conditions now are critical. Whether or not you're ready, we are now approaching the pinnacle. It's difficult to say exactly what to do, but the change begins with me, and I reflect it back to you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Use your ability to choose. It all starts to make sense. It all starts to make sense. It all starts to make sense. It all. Thank you.
and tell me, who am I? Who will I be when the night comes to fall? And who will I be when the sky comes to cold out? Tickets for my pockets for one ride only. Oh, I better not blink.
So much to miss.
I know I'm not the only one.
You're listening to Rose City Native Radio. there was a lot of songs going on. So that one was Paupu Fruit by DRVNDXN. And before that, Sing Soul Girl by Inez Jasper, Blink by Denny, Molly by Luke Daniel Peacock, and starting off the show was Medicine for the People with Vultures of Culture. So we have a very special guest in the studio, and so I'm going to turn on both their mics. And joining me, as always, is Nick Yellowhorse. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good, doing good.
Pretty excited.
I know, me too. As I move the squeaky mic over, there we go. So we have a special guest in the studio today, Trudy Jackson from the Navajo Nation. Trudy, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Hello. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. Hello. Trudy Jackson, Thank you.
And so, Trudy, you are a candidate for the Navajo Nation presidency. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, a little bit about myself is I grew up on the Navajo reservation. I am one of six kids. And I'm the second to the youngest, and I grew up mainly on my mother's side of the family out in Coyote Canyon, New Mexico, and then I am enrolled on my father's side at Tisnas Bus. So my upbringing on the res was basically I attended Indian boarding schools. The majority of my education, and then I ended up traveling out to Phoenix, Arizona, where I attended Phoenix Indian School and graduated from there. So with that, so after my high school graduation, I decided to stay in the city because I felt more comfortable. I felt more welcome, and just the opportunities that were available in the city. So so that's what I did. And then after that, I made my first attempt at college in 1989. And because I was new over to the city and it was my first time being off of the Navajo reservation, it was more or less like a culture shock for me. So that basically led to choices that were not well. But in 2004, I made my second attempt at college. And then while doing that, I was juggling full-time employment. So, and then as well, I started getting more involved in some of the needs that were needed in the Phoenix area. I saw the lack of Native representation, especially within spaces that is supposed to be Native community, but I felt like the underrepresented communities such as the Two-Spirit LGBTQ were underrepresented. So with that, I got more involved in activism as well as social justice. And with that, I advocated for spaces that I entered for more inclusion of the underrepresented communities. So with that, having to enter those spaces helped me build my leadership skills. While I was doing all that in my work, I was also working with the 22 tribes in the state of Arizona. I was a chair for a statewide Native public health group, which really gave me exposure to working with sovereign tribal nations and how policies impact and what type of partnerships were built with urban entities, whether it would be urban Native organizations or the state or the county. So that was what I did. And then from there, in my work, I saw the lack of inclusion of statistical, data and scholarly articles focusing specifically on underrepresented populations. So that inspired me to make my second attempt at college. And therefore, that is the path I am currently on, which has led me to completing my first year of my doctoral program at the University of New Mexico. And I'm looking forward over to learning more and producing scholarship that reflects the underrepresented populations. So with that, one of my observations while being away from the Navajo Nation was really looking at the focus of tribal leadership and looking at what I have learned in my education, specifically around American Indian studies. And therefore, I was looking at more, I was interested more of the impact of federal Indian policies, of how policies were developed, and looking at how tribal leadership, some tribes have yet to revisit some of the policies that were developed and produced when they first became recognized as a sovereign tribal nation. So that was something that I observe. And I think the most the most dire need that I saw was the unethical doings of tribal leaders. And therefore, that was what really inspired me to put my name as a candidate for the Navajo Nation president, and to really bring back everything I've learned in the city and being away from the Navajo Nation as being a leader and having to be a leader to lead with integrity and really look at my community and reflect back of my childhood, of some of the struggles I've seen and witnessed. And as I got older, and to come back over to my community and still see the same struggles that are happening. And therefore, that was another motivation that inspired me over to give back over to my people.
And so when you say like underrepresented communities in both at the Navajo Nation and just in Native communities in general, both urban and on res, and talking about the Two-Spirit community and things like that, what kind of work have you done with those communities? Have you like been brought that back to the Navajo Nation at all, or other tribal communities that you work with in your advocacy? Have you talked to them about what representation you'd like to see within those communities?
Well, first of all, I think tribes, I will say tribes, are very hesitant to embrace new areas because of the fact is that how things have been set in stone for so long, and therefore nations and leaders are not open to change. And bringing the knowledge and the skills that I have gained in the city, I know for a fact that I will probably encounter resistance at first, but as a leader, if you want to see change, you have to help lead your community to embrace change. And therefore, I think that would be a step over to explore. And some of my areas in the urban setting, working with the Two-Spirit LGBT community, specifically in the Southwest, because I've lived in Phoenix, Arizona for over 34 years, I really got to know the community. And in the Phoenix community, at first, I encountered resistance. But after continuing to occupy spaces where at times I was the only American Indian, and getting my name and my face known in the community helped me to walk into spaces now where I am embraced and respected as a leader. And therefore, that is one trait that I hope to take back over to my community.
So as a candidate for the Navajo Nation presidency, what are your top selling points for those Navajos who may be listening that are out there on why they should support you specifically? And also, I wanted to know, what are your thoughts about potentially reversing the Dine Marriage Act and how that applies and everything?
Well, my four areas that I am looking to address. First is education. I really believe that pursuing an education is crucial nowadays, because things are changing, and therefore, in order for the Navajo Nation to come up to speed with the Western society, my philosophy really is looking at bringing home individuals that are educated. I really believe, as a young child, that education is crucial throughout your lifetime. And with that, as a college student, my own self, one area that I would like to address pertaining to education is really looking at revisiting the tribal scholarship. That is because of the fact is that the cost of higher education is getting so expensive. And we're really looking at tribal members that want to go on to college and to have the tribe support them, so therefore they don't leave college with a outrageous student loan debt, and then come back to the Navajo Nation looking for a job, and then therefore they are unable to find a job, and therefore that would cause them to default over on their student loan. So that is one area I would like to look at is the possibility of increasing that. And then also another area that I'm looking at is the transparency. As a leader, and it is the people who vote in a leader into office. And therefore, I honestly believe that a leader should be open and honest with their people, and to abide by the rules and policy as a leader that would lead with integrity, and to also be accountable over of the actions and decisions that they would make on behalf of the Navajo Nation. Thirdly, the area that I'm looking at is resiliency. Our ancestors have encountered and endured many hardship, but they were very strong and very resilient to come back. And I believe that as a nation that we have that potential to help the entire community, but also really looking at, we tend to forget the individuals that live off of the reservation. And to not forget is that these are our own people. Even though they may not live on the reservation, but they still identify as one of our own. So those are just some of the components I am looking at. And then also looking at revisiting the 2005 Dené Marriage Act. While while America embraces marriage equality, very few tribal nations have embraced that. And one of my areas that I would like to address and to revisit is if we are talking about community, we have to really look at that word. What are we saying about community? And therefore, if we are really seriously addressing community, we need to embrace everyone and not stigmatize individuals or communities. And therefore, revisiting the Dene Marriage Act would be a step in that direction for inclusion as well as diversity, but also really look at how has colonization impacted us. Before, our ancestors never judged anyone of who they loved. And I believe that as a nation, that we need to honor and respect what our ancestors have been taught, and that with our current generations to revisit that and to look at policy changes as well as looking to educate and inform individuals that may not be open-minded and open to change.
So what was the reaction when you announced you were throwing your hat into the ring for the presidency? What was the reaction from your community when you announced that?
Well, because I've lived in an urban setting for so long, I felt more comfortable announcing my candidacy at the Two-Spirit gathering of elders event out in Albuquerque. And I am very thankful to have individuals that see me for my leadership qualities, and that I don't want things to focus just because of who I am over on my gender, because that's not what is the core issue. The core issues are, what am I going to do as a candidate for the Navajo nation? And therefore, that is what I hope to address. My candidacy announcement was very well received, and I got outpouring support from all over the country, as well as individuals that I have known in the urban areas. And while my name may not be well known on the Navajo nation, is in the month of July, I am setting up various places over to visit on the Navajo nation. So, like, for example, on July 17th, I will be out in Sanders, Arizona. And then on July 28th, I'll be in Shiprock, New Mexico. And then I have received an invitation to be out in Tuba City, Arizona. And then looking at visiting Chinle, Arizona, and Pueblo Pintado. And lastly, I plan to visit my own chapter community of Tisosmos, Arizona. So those are some of the upcoming events.
I do want to ask, what has been one of the, in your mind, one of the major struggles that you've had to overcome because of you announcing yourself as a candidate for this presidency?
I think one area I would most likely say is of getting my name out in the community. Even though I'm well known in the urban setting, but I want to get my name known out within my own tribal community and to really connect with individuals that live in the community and to reconnect and to be able to converse with the elders in my own facade. So that is one area that I hope to overcome. But with the upcoming four Navajo Nation presidential forms that are left before the primary is making those appearances, meeting the voters, shaking hands, and getting my face known out there.
I did want to ask you, for those who are listening that may happen to be Navajo as well, what's the best way they could show their support to you after hearing you on our program today?
Please visit my campaign page. It's at www.trudie, it's T-R-U-D-I-E, Jackson.com. And there is an email on there. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me. And I have been receiving some very interesting questions, which also makes me realize some of the issues different communities are encountering. And your questions are very valuable, so don't hesitate over to contact me. And then also, I have a page over on social media as well.
Well, Trudie, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. It was really great having you here. And just so happy to run into you at Pride too. Just like, oh wow, you're in Portland. That it worked out really nicely, I think. But thank you so much, for being here.
Yeah.
And again, you can go to www.trudie.jackson.com and check out her page there, as well as her page on social media, if you just look up Trudy Jackson.
Yes.
Great. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. Yeah. So coming up next here, this is Frozen Whitefish with Mani Alaska Me here on Rose City Native Radio.
But we still here. Missing brother, missing mother, missing daughters. Say it again, no clean water. But we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear. But we still here. The message is clear, they wanted us to disappear. But we still here. Father in sight, women warrior fight. I wanna break the cycle in the circle. Non-verbal, nocturnal, no dress rehearsal. Here by a century, awaken the spirit. Be fearless and clear it, no limit. I spit it, I risk it, I hit it. It's written, never bitten, archived for my descendants. It's important to make a presence. Representations at all levels. We are all rebels sent from the heavens at 11:11. So meet me at 7:11 to dismantle depression, to gather, to master.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You can find more information about our show and our guests if you go to facebook.com/Rose City Native Radio. You can also reach us with your music, local events, and more at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. As always, stay cool, Indian Country. We'll see you next week.
No clean water, but we're still here. We're still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear, but we're still here. The message is clear. They wanted us to disappear.
The preceding program was produced at KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. More audio can be found online at kboo.fm.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM. K282BH Philomas on 104.3 FM and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
The following program is a rebroadcast. Dates, times, and events mentioned in the following program have already occurred. Thank you for tuning in to KBOO Portland.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to American Indian Airwaves.
So it's proposed that this huge gold mine will be right there, right next to our most important